بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه، ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Since the time you woke up this morning, you have done some actions. Because obviously you weren't sleeping here, and even if you were, you must have done something to be up and awake and sitting right now. So at least some actions have been done. Some of you may have done many actions in this period of time. If you think about each one closely, you'll find that each one had a purpose, or at least a reason behind it. So you got up, went to the bathroom, rinsed your mouth, you took a shower, probably you wore some different clothes, you had breakfast, you went to work, or you went to school, or you went somewhere, or you came here, or you went to school and work, and then you came here, and then now you're sitting here and listening to this, and inshallah we'll be praying very soon. So each of these actions have been done for a purpose. But what I'd like you to consider is, how could that purpose be refined? How could the purpose of doing all the things that we do and the actions that you have done since the time you got up this morning, how can the purpose behind each one be refined further? Because to refine the purpose, or in other words, the intention of doing an act, has multiple benefits. Refining the intention, the purpose, the goal of an act has multiple benefits, and we'll talk about that inshallah. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated in the famous hadith, which is often found at the beginning of many books. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah chose to begin his sahih with that famous hadith as well, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." That verily the actions are by intentions, are measured, are judged according to intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. And for every person is what he intended. For every person is what he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِلَىٰ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا. So the one whose hijrah, migration, referring to the migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah of the believers. So the one whose hijrah was to Allah and His Messenger, then his hijrah was to Allah and His Messenger, and the translation is a bit more detailed than the actual Arabic, but another version of the hadith, from the kanat hijratuhu ila Allahi wa Rasuli. So the one whose hijrah was to Allah and His Messenger, then his hijrah was for Allah and His Messenger. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا أَوْ إِلَىٰ إِمْرَأَةٍ يُصِيبُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. And whoever's hijrah was for worldly gain or for the purpose of marriage. So the person who emigrated, who changed cities, who moved for the purpose of marriage or for any other worldly purpose, then his hijrah, his migration, was for the purpose that he intended. This hadith is found Bukhari and Muslim and other places as well. Now this hadith is so important that a number of scholars have written about it. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says that this hadith constitutes what, a third of all knowledge. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah has said that this hadith, this one short saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has so much depth that it constitutes one third of all knowledge. And there's so much to talk about and so much to read on this. So what I will be saying is only a very small portion, very small piece of what we can learn from this hadith. So the intention, meaning the purpose that we are aiming to accomplish, is crucial. And it's the first deciding factor on how an action is judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an action is judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important. An action is judged by Allah based on what you want it to be. An action is judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is judged, the judgment is based upon what you want that action to be. And the second deciding factor is if that action was actually done according to the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for an action to be valid and to be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two deciding factors. Number one, the intention behind the action, if that was correct or not. And secondly, the action itself, it was done according to the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one can have a noble intention. So for example, a person could say, okay, I want to pray to Allah. I want to offer salah. I want to pray. This is a very good intention. And a person can decide to pray. But if his prayer, or if her prayer is not according to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have described it to be, how it should be, then that element is missing. That second deciding factor is missing. So a person could pray in another way, you know, mix them up, do sujood right away, and then, you know, then do ruku and mix things up. The prayer is not going to be valid. So the intention may be great, but the act itself has to conform to the guidelines as well. Now the scholars say that this principle refers only to acts of obedience to the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, it cannot be used to justify actions that are prohibited or that are disliked, or actions that go against the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, we cannot commit an act which is prohibited, or commit an act which is disliked, and then legitimize it by saying that, oh, I have good intentions behind this act. Right? So we cannot do something which is prohibited and simply try to legitimize it based on this hadith and say, well, you know, what I was doing wasn't exactly correct, it was prohibited, it was wrong, but, you know, my intentions were very noble, so it's all good. Right? That's kind of how it works. So both have to conform. The intentions have to be correct, and the way the act is carried out must also conform to the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now regarding this hadith, there are some other hadith which give the reason for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this. And that was that there was a person in Mecca who had sent a proposal of marriage to a woman named Qais. A man in Mecca had sent a proposal for marriage to a woman by the name of Qais. And she was in Medina. So the man was in Mecca, woman was in Medina. So she turned it down, she turned the proposal down, saying that he should have to emigrate to Medina for it. So her condition was that if you want my hand in marriage, if you want to marry me, you must migrate to Medina, because that's where she was. She said, I am not going to come to Mecca. Happens sometimes. Accordingly, he did it for this purpose. He did it. So he made the hijrah, he did the emigration from Mecca to Medina, and for this purpose, and they were both married in Medina. And on account of this event, the man came to be known among the companions as Muhajir Qais. He was known as Muhajir Qais, the one who emigrated for Qais, meaning for marrying her. Right, so this hadith, the context of this hadith is regarding this incident, and this is what we learned from some other hadith. So the hijrah, the emigration for faith, was an act of obedience. It was an act that the Prophet ﷺ was doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, of course, inspired him to do it. So this was an act of obedience. But the purpose behind his emigration, his hijrah, was for marriage. Right? Not for hijrah as it was commanded by Allah and His Messenger ﷺ. So people were doing hijrah. He did hijrah as well. Except he did it for a different reason, a different intention. Now marriage in itself is not bad. Right? It's not like he was doing something haram. Right? It's not like he was emigrating to, I don't know, commit some sort of sin or you know, drink or something. Right? He was emigrating for a noble cause, for a good thing, for marriage. So in itself, marriage is not bad. But Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, and he answers this question, this point, he says, marriage is one of the things sought from the people in the Sharia. It is something which is recommended, and you know, we're told that you should do it, it's something good. So why then here is it considered to be a worldly pursuit? Why has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam equated it with, you know, emigrating for things of the world? Right? It's something good, it's something positive. He was, like I said, he wasn't going to do something haram, he was doing something which was actually recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he says that the answer is, on the outward, he did not emigrate for her sake, but only for the hijrah towards the Prophet. So outwardly, he made it seem like he was going along with everyone else, and he was also taking part in the hijrah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But since what he hid was different from what he showed, he deserved rebuke and blame. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is saying that the person, even though he was emigrating, he was making it seem like he was doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in fact he was doing it for the purpose of marriage, and that was the reason why he deserved the rebuke and the blame. And Imam Nawawi then gives an analogy, and he says, this is like a person who puts on an outward show of going on Hajj. This is like a person who puts on an outward show of going on pilgrimage, but his real goal is to go there and do trade. And there's still people, you know, you're thinking, okay, who's going to go and do business there, right? But there's still people who come from different parts of the world who will actually load up on buses, even trucks, right? Even trucks, and they'll drive, right? Thousands of kilometers, right? To take part in the Hajj. And as you see those trucks, those buses when you go there. And many of them are doing trade, right? They bring a lot of goods and they're selling them while they're there for Hajj. And there's nothing really wrong with that, except that must not be the intention for going for Hajj. So, migration was something very serious, right? So, especially at that time. Nowadays, okay, if you need to move, usually it's for, you know, for work purposes or you're studying, especially if your work's paying for it, you'll call up, you know, one of those big moving companies, they'll come up, they'll pack things up for you, everything's good. You don't have to worry about it much, right? You get your plane ticket, or you drive down, and that's it. You go into your new home, the movers come in, they'll set everything up. Not much stress. There's still some stress. We get stressed out over everything, right? So there is some stress, but not as much as, or as hard as it would be back then, right? Because back then, people will leave their home, leave behind their home, their family, their wealth, their property, the travel was rough. And you know, they could take limited luggage and limited resources with them, and they would arrive in a new city, and there was uncertainty. So migration, the hijrah, was something which was very, you know, demanding and very taxing. It was not something which was very simple. But however significant migration is, the scale of that action, even though it's so significant, matters less than its intention. Okay, so a person could go through all that hardship. What the Prophet ﷺ is telling us is, even though you bear all that hardship, if the intention was not correct, then all that hardship and all of that difficulty can end up not giving you much. So that means that it's possible for someone to undergo the tremendous effort. Imagine, you know, traveling the good, whatever, 400 or so kilometers it is, right, or approximately between Mecca and Medina. Right, and imagine if you go and if you look at the terrain, if you look at the type of, you know, land there is, and you notice all the rocks and the mountains and the rough terrain, you'll realize how difficult it must have been. Right, so for someone, it's possible that someone goes through just such tremendous effort and exhaustion and upheaval that is associated with that migration, only to receive zero return on their investment, zero return for all of those efforts compared to what they could have received. Simply why? Because of the intention. Simply because of the intention. When I'm teaching the kids, I asked them, you know, before making wudu, as we were practicing, we said, okay, you should make intention. So what's intention? Is it something you have to work for? You have to cook something? You have to write something? No. Intention is simply deciding in your mind, in your heart, of what you're actually trying to achieve and what you're trying to do. But even that, something which seems so minor, could actually devoid a person of all the benefits and rewards that they could get from going through so much hardship that is involved in doing the hijrah, especially at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So the point of all this is that it is the intention which decides how the action is rewarded and judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention, number one, and secondly, how the action is carried out, if it's following the guidance of Allah and His Messenger ﷺ. Now when it comes to the acts of worship, especially when it comes to the acts of worship, so when we talk about offering our salah, when we're talking about, you know, going for hajj and giving charity and all the reciting Quran, all the acts of worship, we definitely want to do them only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this seems like common sense, and I feel like, okay, why am I saying this? But think about it. We definitely want to make sure that these actions especially are being done only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. And they have been commanded no more than this, to worship Allah, offering Him sincere devotion. Offering Him sincere devotion. مخلصين له الدين. Right? Sincere devotion. حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. Being true in faith, to establish regular prayer, to practice regular charity, and that is the religion, right and straight. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear, Surah Al-Baqarah, makes it very clear that the devotion, especially the acts of devotion that we are doing, must be sincerely and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah talks about the qualities of the righteous. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And he describes them and he says, who has in mind no favor from anyone to be paid back. Right? So the quality of the righteous believers, is that when they do these acts of worship and acts of devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not thinking of, okay, this is what I owe someone, or this is what I need to do towards someone else, or I need to please someone, or I have someone else, or some other, you know, a requirement or request to fulfill. That's not what they're thinking of. Their minds are clear. إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجِهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَىٰ. Except to seek the countenance, meaning the pleasure, of his Lord the Most High. So that is the only purpose that the righteous people do their acts of worship and their acts of devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must clear our minds and our hearts of any other motivation. And this is, wallahi, this is easier said than done. This is easier said than done. We say that very easily. I just roll out of my, you know, off the tip of my tongue in 2 seconds. But if you try to act upon it and really reflect upon what that means, there's a lot more to it. Because sometimes we end up doing things, even though we know we should be doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, we do things to please people. It happens sometimes. Sometimes you start doing something with the right intention, and then somebody else heads in, right? We start showing off. And these are all serious diseases of the heart. Serious diseases of the heart. To do actions for other people, right? Especially acts of worship, to please other people, right? And it happens so easily. We're offering our prayer and there's someone that's around us, or we know people are watching us, then we start praying a little bit properly. Right? We start making our rak'ahs a little bit longer, right? Or we're in a, you know, in a gathering where, you know, people are giving money, a fundraising dinner or something, and then we get motivated that, okay, yeah, maybe I'll end up looking good, right? And for those who recite Quran, you're reciting Quran, and you start thinking, oh, if I sound really nice, people will like me, right? People will enjoy the recitation and they'll think highly of me. Or if, you know, someone's giving a speech, then you think that as well, that, okay, I can impress people, right? So there's so many ways in different areas where this can set into our hearts, and this is a very serious disease, and we need to be very, very careful about that. Right, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is serious, right, he says that Allah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah may He be blessed and exalted, said, so hadith Qudsi, I am so self-sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am so self-sufficient that I am in no need of having an associate. Thus he who does an action for someone else's sake, as well as mine, will have that action renounced by me to him whom he associated with me. Okay? So even having double intention of pleasing someone else and pleasing Allah at the same time is not an option. It's one thing to say, okay, that we do an action and someone's doing it completely for someone else, not for Allah. Then okay, we know that's wrong. But the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, that he who does an action for someone else's sake, as well as mine. Right? So you're having a split intention there. Will have that action renounced by me to him who is associated with me. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like shirk of any sort, any association with him of anyone else. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that if the action is going to be for me, It has to be solely and completely and purely and sincerely for me. It should not be for any other purpose or for anyone else. Now, the intention is also important because it differentiates one action from another. So, for example, the fard of dhuhr is 4 rak'at. The fard of asr is 4 rak'at. So we need to make an intention, right, to know where, how that should be filed, how that should be categorized. What are we actually doing? Are we performing dhuhr or are we performing asr? Right. So it needs to be made clear, especially if you're doing qada. Right. If you're making up, somebody has missed the dhuhr prayer and we're praying both asr or dhuhr at the same time, or if you're joining prayers or whatever the case is, the intention is extremely important and must be done in order for the action to be valid. Or if you're fasting, right? Is it a makeup fast for a missed fast Ramadan, or is it a nafil fast? Right? We need to know so that we can calculate how many fasts we have missed Ramadan and have we made them up or not. If you're sacrificing an animal, right? Are we doing it for, sacrificing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in Eid al-Adha, or are we doing it simply for meat? Because we want meat from the animal. So again, the intention matters. So this is why intention is required for acts of worship. So all the acts of worship that we do, right, whether it's praying or fasting or whatever it is, the intention needs to be there so that we know exactly what we are trying to achieve and what obligation we are discharging. Now let's go back to our actions from this morning that I listed in the beginning and see how they can each be refined. And you'll find that for almost anything that you do, anything that's obviously not prohibited or disliked, but for anything other than that you do, we can refine and reap greater benefits from them, inshallah. And it all depends on the intention. If we change, if we refine, if we modify our intention a little bit, we can actually gain more rewards and gain more benefit, inshallah. So, very simple. First thing most of us probably did when we got up was go to the bathroom. Okay, now that's something naturally you're going to do anyway, most probably. But if you make, what kind of intention can you make? So if you make an intention, for example, that you're trying to protect your body from harm, you're trying to protect your body from harm, and if you use the bathroom in the way that the Prophet ﷺ has described, and this is something that the disbelievers at that time used to make fun of. And they're trying to make fun of Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ, this is something that they will make fun of. Now what kind of faith is this? What kind of prophet is this that they're even teaching how to use the bathroom? Right? And what was the response? The response to that was, yes, this faith is so complete. This faith is so complete in its guidance that we even have guidance on how to use the bathroom properly. Right? That's a sign of the completion of the faith and the depth of the faith. So the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that as well. So if we do it in the proper way, we make the intention that we're trying to protect our body from harm, and we actually make the niyyah, make the intention that we're following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and his guidance in using the bathroom, then even that can become a source of reward. When we clean our mouth, this is everything this is something we all do. It's a part of wudu, right? So if you make wudu at the same time, and especially if you brush your teeth and you use the siwak, if you have one available, then, or the miswak, then you intend the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then that becomes a means of reward as well. You took a shower today, most likely, or you do every day, right? You do it with the right intention, do it in the sunnah way, and especially on a Friday, you make intention that you're doing it because it is a sunnah or it has been recommended by the Prophet ﷺ on a Friday, especially, then that also becomes a means of reward. You wear clothes, right? And you're going to do that anyway, hopefully. And you make the intention that you're doing it to follow the guidance on covering the body, especially the parts of the body which need to be covered. And you follow prophetic guidelines and guidance and preferences regarding the type of clothing and so on, and that can also become a form of reward as well. You have breakfast, very important meal of the day, right? Have breakfast. And you make the intention that you're eating breakfast so that you can gain strength, so that you can discharge your duties, and so that you can worship properly, and you eat in a manner in which the Prophet ﷺ has guided us, right, with the etiquettes of eating, and with not filling yourself all the way up, and leaving one third for food, one third for water, one third for air, so on and so forth. You do all of that, you make the niyyah for following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you can get rewarded for that as well, inshallah. You go to work, and you go to school. You make niyyah that you're going to support your family so that you can earn and discharge your responsibilities towards your family, that you're going to learn and get educated, or educate others so that you or they can serve Islam, serve Muslims, serve humanity, and that becomes a source of reward as well. And then when we come here, and the fact that you're sitting here right now and you're praying, we make sure that our intention is solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have not come here, our intention for coming here is not to socialize. That may be a side effect, a side benefit that we receive, that we derive from this. But the intention, of course, is to follow upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to gain Allah's pleasure. Right? It's not just, the intention is not to socialize. Or, even more so, not so that people can see us, right, and see that, okay, yes, so-and-so is here for Friday prayers. Yes, so-and-so comes to the masjid regularly, so that people can think well of us. That's not the intention. Or, let's say if you're at work, and there's a few Muslims, you feel embarrassed that everyone else is going for Jummah, for Friday prayers, and you're the only one who's staying behind in the office, so you go along as well. Now, I'm not saying that if that was the intention, then you stop coming. No, you continue to come, please. But you modify your intention, so that you're not coming because you will feel embarrassed if everyone else goes for Jummah and you're the only one staying behind among the Muslims. But you make the intention that you are coming because it is a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please Allah. So as you can see, all of these can be refined. Right? The intention behind each of these actions can be refined to include a greater purpose which is eligible for a reward. We would do all of these things anyway, most likely. Right? But if you just think about it a little bit beforehand, get the right intention, it can actually be a source of reward. Now there's a few benefits of refining our intention. So number one, which is very important, is that it gives us an opportunity to reflect before we do something. It gives us an opportunity to reflect before we do something. It slows us down. And that's a good thing sometimes. Because it forces us to think, okay, well, why am I doing this act? Is it even worth doing? Is it even worth doing? Is there any benefit in this act? Is the benefit short term? Is it short-lived? Is it long-lived? What kind of benefit is it? Why am I doing this? Am I simply doing this because it makes me feel good? Am I simply doing it because I'm getting, you know, tempted by my nafs, by my desires, and by shaitan? Why am I actually doing this? Or am I doing it because Allah has commanded it? Am I doing it to show off? So it gives us a chance to stop and think for a moment, to correct our intentions. And then once you are convinced and understand that you're doing whatever you're doing for the best possible reason, it makes sense, you need to do it, you're doing it for the right reasons, then you're more likely to be motivated to do it properly. So before you stand and pray, if you just think, make the intention, and when you're making the intention, think that, okay, I'm actually standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Allah, and having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So get that into the mind first. And just think about what that actually implies and what that means. There's a good chance that your level of concentration in the prayer will be somewhat elevated, inshallah. And finally, of course, we get the benefit is that we get the reward. Inshallah, we will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for the things that we would do regularly or that we would be doing anyway. So make the correct intention and it will become a source of benefit, inshallah. Allah says in the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. Whoever intends to have the harvest of the hereafter, we will increase in his harvest. Right? If you want the reward of the hereafter, that's what you're intending. Right? If that's what you're intending with your actions and your deed, then that's what you're hoping for, then that will be increased, inshallah. But Allah says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. And whoever intends to have the harvest of the world, only then we will give him thereof, while in the hereafter he will have no share. While in the hereafter he will have no share. And this goes exactly hand in hand with what the Prophet ﷺ is saying in the hadith. Right, that if you intend to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to follow their command and guidance, that's what you will get, and you will get the reward for that, inshallah. But if you're simply doing it for worldly benefit or whatever short term benefit that you can see and that you know you will get, then you will get that benefit and that's about it. So let us aim so that everything that we do, we intend it in such a way that we're aiming for reward in the hereafter. Right? Anything that we do, let's think about it, refine it, make it efficient, right? Plan it in such a way, intend it in such a way that we are aiming for reward in the hereafter, which is much better and much more long-lasting than any reward that we can find here. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-A'la, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Right, the hereafter. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Right, it's better and much more long-lasting. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable me, first of all, to purify my intentions. It is a real. If you think about it, it's a real struggle sometimes, many times. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me to clean my intentions, purify my intentions, and make me sincere in all of my acts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, enable all of you to modify and refine your intentions to make them sincere for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us for all of our shortcomings, for all of the acts that we have committed, that we have done, thinking we were doing something good, but our intentions were a little bit messed up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for that serious shortcoming. May He still continue to accept all of our deeds. Ameen wa akhwada wa alhamdulillah.